You know, we tend to think about Holy Week and like the big moments, right?
Yeah.
Palm Sunday, Good Friday, but what about that Monday? It's there, right? Smack dab in the middle of everything, but it's not just filler, is it? There's something going on there.
No, not at all. It might seem like just a sort of bridge between the excitement of Palm Sunday and then what happens later in the week.
Yeah.
But actually, Monday, when we look at the biblical account and how the church has reflected on this over the centuries,
Right.
it offers some really powerful insights.
So that's what we want to do today. We're going to take a look at this Monday of Holy Week.
Okay.
We're going to look at it through the Gospels. We'll look at it through what the church fathers have to say about it
All right.
and see if we can't find some deeper meaning there.
Sounds good.
So, okay, let's set the stage. We're coming off of Palm Sunday. Jesus has just made this incredible entry into Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah.
There's this outpouring of praise. The crowds are going wild.
Yeah, the Gospels give us such a vivid picture, don't they?
They do.
I mean, the crowds are ecstatic. They're spreading their cloaks on the road, waving palm branches, shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel."
Yeah.
So much hope and anticipation.
But of course, you know, we see this all the time, right? That kind of unbridled enthusiasm, not everybody is on board with that.
Oh, no.
And especially not the religious leaders,
Right.
particularly the Pharisee.
Especially the Pharisees, they feel like their influence, their authority is being challenged.
Oh, yeah.
And you can just feel reading the scriptures, they felt like they were getting nowhere. This was just the entire world is turning to him.
Right.
And it fuels this anxiety and resentment in them.
Yeah.
And it hardens their stance against Jesus.
Right.
And they become more determined to get rid of him.
Well, and we can't forget, it's not just Jesus they want to get rid of.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Lazarus. I
I
mean,
know.
he raised Lazarus from the dead.
I mean, come on.
That was hard to deny, right?
Hard to deny that one.
That was a miracle.
And Gregory of Nazianzus, he makes the point that, you know, while Jesus clearly experienced human emotion, grief at the death of his friend, his power over death proves his divinity.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, this is just really putting a target on his back
Right.
and setting things up for what's to come. So, as we move into Monday, now Jesus and his disciples are leaving Bethany.
Okay.
And we run into this story about a fig tree.
The fig tree. The timing here in Mark's gospel is interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because Jesus sees this fig tree in the distance, and it's covered with leaves, and that suggests, you know, it should have fruit on it.
Right.
But when he goes to it, he finds only leaves because, as the text says, it wasn't the season for figs.
Yeah.
But he says to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again."
Yeah.
And the disciples hear it.
They do.
Yeah.
And then it's the next day, Tuesday. But we have to remember that this whole thing with the fig tree starts on Monday.
That's right.
And so the disciples, they see that the tree is completely withered. It seems kind of harsh, doesn't it?
I know. You think, why a tree? It's just being a tree doing its natural thing.
Right.
And it's not the season for figs. Come on.
Yeah.
But, you know, the church has always seen this event as symbolic. I
Right.
mean, more than just a literal encounter with a tree, you know. Early church interpreters saw it as a warning against hypocrisy, against outward appearances that don't match the reality inside.
Okay.
Right? It had all these leaves. It was giving off this impression that there should be fruit there.
The promise wasn't fulfilled.
There you go.
Yes.
An empty promise.
So we have to ask ourselves, right? Are our lives bearing fruit?
Absolutely.
Or are we just putting on a show?
Is it genuine?
Yes, the genuine, this is what God cares about, not
Exactly.
the outward show.
He sees right through that.
Yeah. So this fig tree, it's an image of that.
Yeah, it's a powerful one.
It's a powerful image.
It is.
Okay, so then right after this, Jesus goes straight to Jerusalem and into the temple.
The temple. This is a powerful scene.
This is a powerful scene. And
Yeah.
he doesn't just, you know, walk in there.
No.
He takes charge.
He does. He starts driving out the people who are buying and selling, throws over the tables of the money changers,
Yeah.
benches of those selling pigeons, even stops people carrying stuff through the temple.
It's a huge disruption.
It is.
I mean, to the established order, it's a challenge.
Big time.
Yeah. And the reason he gives is really important.
Oh, yeah, it is. He says, and he's quoting the prophet Isaiah here,
Yeah.
"My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,
Right.
but you have made it a den of thieves."
Yeah.
He's reminding them that the temple is a place of worship.
Right.
It's a place for all people to connect with God.
It's supposed to be for everyone.
Exactly. It's not about commerce.
Yeah.
It's about something sacred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it makes you think, right? where in our lives do we need to maybe reclaim some of that space for the divine? Make it less about just the everyday stuff and more about, you know, what really matters.
That's a great question.
Yeah. So, okay, we can just imagine how the religious authorities are reacting to this.
Oh boy, can we ever.
I mean, this is messing with their bottom line. You know, their money-making schemes. And it's another direct challenge to their authority.
Right in the center of their power base.
Right in their own house.
Yeah.
And we're told that the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they hear about this. They want him dead.
Oh, yeah. The text tells us they were afraid of him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. I mean,
right.
This wasn't just, you know, a physical act. It was a statement.
A prophetic statement.
A prophetic statement, right. Yeah, about the corruption that had snuck into worship.
Right.
And it just fueled that opposition against him.
Yeah, and it's going to keep growing all week long.
Yep.
We're also told that the disciples, they remembered the scripture, "Zeal for your house consumes me."
Zeal for your house consumes me.
Yeah.
It speaks to Jesus's commitment to the holiness of God's house.
It's not just anger, is it?
No.
Ah.
It's righteous anger.
Yeah.
It's this deep passion for reverence toward God.
Right.
And it reminds us, right, that we need to respect sacred spaces and correct any wrongdoing within them.
Yeah. So on this Monday, we have these two very powerful events.
Yeah.
The fig tree and the cleansing of the temple. And our material makes a good point here.
Okay.
The Gospels for this Monday, they don't give us a lot of detail about other specific things that happened that day.
Okay.
However, when we look at the church's liturgical year and what the church fathers have said about it,
right,
we can get a deeper understanding.
So how does that work?
Well, for example, the first hour gospel reading for Monday evening, this comes from John chapter 12, verses 23 through 36.
Okay.
And it focuses on some really important things, like the glorification of the Son of Man.
Okay.
And it uses this incredible image of a grain of wheat that has to fall into the ground and die in order to produce more wheat.
That's a powerful image.
It is. It points to Jesus's death and resurrection.
Yeah.
It's saying that sometimes you have to go through loss.
Right.
To achieve something greater.
New life.
New life.
Yep.
And then it talks about the choice we have to make.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Do we hold on tight to our earthly lives?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we follow Jesus wherever he leads?
That's the question, isn't it?
That's the question. And then something really amazing happens.
What's that?
God the Father speaks from heaven.
Wow.
He affirms Jesus' divine nature and his mission.
Right.
It's an incredible moment.
Yeah.
And it happens right when things are getting so tense.
Right when he needs it most.
Right when he needs it most. Now, some of the early church thinkers, they connect this moment back to that fig tree.
Oh, how do they do that?
Well, they tie it in with the parable of the wise and foolish virgins.
Okay, but wait, isn't that parable usually read later in the week?
It is.
Yeah.
But they see a connection here.
Okay, I'm curious. What is it?
It's all about genuine faith and doing good deeds.
Okay.
You know, the wise virgins, they had oil in their lamps.
Yeah.
They were ready. They were living out their faith.
They had prepared.
They prepared, yeah.
Yeah.
The foolish virgins, they didn't have any oil.
Oh, no.
So they weren't ready.
They weren't prepared.
And so it's another reminder,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Just saying you have faith isn't enough.
You have to live it out.
You have to live it out.
And be transformed by it.
Yeah. So it seems like this Monday is really about exposing what's real and what's fake.
Authenticity.
Authenticity, yeah.
Yeah.
And the danger for Jesus is really growing now.
Oh, absolutely. Don't forget, the chief priests and Pharisees, they put out the word that if anyone knows where Jesus is, they need to report it.
Yeah.
They want to arrest him.
So the tension is building.
It is.
And even the way the church observes this Monday in the liturgy.
Okay.
It reflects this really unique place that it holds in Holy Week.
How so?
Well, for example, the prayers said on Monday are set to this mournful melody.
Oh, wow.
A reminder of the suffering that's to come.
Right.
But then, get this, within those prayers, we hear this incredible paschal praise. To you is the power and the glory and the blessing and the honor forever. Amen.
Wow.
And this praise, it's repeated over and over throughout the day.
So even in the sorrow, there's this proclamation of victory.
It's a reminder that even though Jesus is going to suffer, he's going to overcome it.
It's a powerful image of hope,
yeah.
isn't it? And it connects our worship here on earth to the worship of the angels in heaven.
Wow.
It's like we're joining with them.
Yeah, it's this declaration that we're with Jesus every step of the way.
Yeah.
Okay, then we come to the ninth hour reading for Monday.
Okay.
And it takes us all the way back to the beginning.
The beginning.
Yeah, the book of Genesis.
Oh, wow.
The story of the fall of Adam and Eve.
So why go back to the beginning now?
Well, it reminds us why Jesus had to come in the first place.
Right.
Adam and Eve, they brought sin and death into the world.
Yeah.
And Jesus, his passion, it's the ultimate act of redemption.
It is.
It sets humanity free from the consequences of that original sin.
Powerful.
And these themes, sin, redemption, the restoration of humanity, they're at the very heart of Holy Week.
Yeah, they're woven throughout the whole week, aren't they?
They are. And the commentary points out something really interesting, too. As Passover is getting closer, Jesus hasn't shown up at the temple yet. And the Jewish leaders, they're starting to wonder if he's even going to come.
Okay, and what's so interesting about that?
On the surface, it just seems like a simple question, right?
Yeah.
But underneath, it's clear they're looking for him so they can arrest him.
Oh, I see. So it's not just curiosity, it's sinister.
Exactly. It highlights just how much danger Jesus is in.
Right.
So it really feels like Monday is this turning point.
It does.
The excitement of Palm Sunday is fading.
Uh-huh.
And this opposition, it's hardening. It's becoming more intense.
Yeah.
And it sets the stage for all the suffering that's going to come.
So as we think about this Monday of Holy Week, what stands out to you the most?
Well, for me, it's that contrast between what people show on the outside and what's really going on inside.
Yeah.
Like with the fig tree.
Right.
And then there's this incredible zeal that Jesus shows when he cleanses the temple.
Mm.
It reminds us how important it is to honor God's presence.
Right.
But then there's that shadow hanging over everything.
Yeah.
Because the opposition to Jesus is just getting stronger.
It really makes you appreciate that even though this Monday might not seem as dramatic as other days in Holy Week,
yeah,
it's packed with meaning.
Absolutely. It's full of these important themes and hints at what's to come.
And it makes you think, how about you? How do those themes of what's on the outside versus what's on the inside show up in your own life? Are there places where maybe those two things don't quite line up? And how do you approach sacred spaces, both the physical ones and the ones we carry within us? And maybe spending some time reflecting on the readings and hymns for Monday in your own tradition might give you some personal insights.
That's something to think about.
It is.